Let's talk to somebody who always brings it, always stays on the road, always stays on point. Nick Wagner, ESPN, 49ers beat writer. Nick, normally we talk to you on a Tuesday, and this is your film day, but with this being a short week, have you had a chance to grind that Packers film yet, my friend?
I didn't get as much time, but I did get a couple of games in. I squeezed in a couple this morning because I was completely exhausted when I got back from Dallas yesterday. And so I only watched the Dallas game once, which I usually will try to watch it the previous game two or three times. But I did watch the Packers today. I called our Packers reporter, Rob Demosky, this morning, and I said, hey, man, I need, like, give me a game that, like, shows the good stuff and one game that shows, like, the bad stuff. And he kind of pointed me in the right direction. And one that was particularly of interest was the Browns game, just from a run defense standpoint, which I'm sure we'll get into some of that. But, yes, I did get a couple of them in, not as much as I normally would. But, you know, we've seen the Packers a lot over the last few years, too. So it's not like this is totally foreign to us.
Well, where did you find any bad from Aaron Rodgers?
Because nowhere. His press conferences, maybe. What would be the answer to that? But in terms of actually on the football field, especially over the last, you know, 2 months or so, not much. And it's crazy that he's playing with, what, a broken toe or whatever, and it doesn't seem to affect him. In fact, he seems like he's almost somehow gotten better, which seems very difficult. Yeah, that's quite a challenge. I don't know that there's a whole lot of analysis we need to do on the fact that Aaron Rodgers is probably the best football player on the planet. So.
If we can just find Pat McAfee and just get him into the stadium somehow, Aaron might slip up in some way, shape, or form. But without that, I'm wondering. 49ers have their own, you know, quarterback injury concerns. Certainly they've played out significantly differently than what's going on up in Green Bay. Jimmy now has a sprained shoulder on top of the thumb, and apparently sprained his shoulder after he got hit in the Jimmy G's and was going down and had to sort of pick his poison in terms of what to fall on. How serious did the Niners think this is?
Well, it sounds like pretty serious, at least from what Jimmy Garoppolo was saying today. He was asked directly, you know, which is bothering you more right now, your thumb or your shoulder, and he said yes. The idea basically being that both are hurting him about equally. And so I think that there's got to be concern there because it's the right thumb and the right shoulder, which obviously is both throwing hand and throwing arm. So not a great.
Has he considered going lefty?
Yeah, right. We get the what's the old joke that you call the amphibious? You can be amphibious for it. And be ambidextrous. Yeah,
get Pat Vendetti in here and teach him how to throw left-handed.
Yeah, that's right. It doesn't seem like there's much worry that he's not going to be able to play. He kind of gave a little bit of a cryptic answer when he's asked directly if he's going to play this week. Said something to the effect of, "I'm feeling pretty good right now. We'll see how it goes through the week." But just the fact that he is practicing, and Kyle Shanahan was pretty open yesterday, basically saying, "I don't think it's going to be something that keeps him out of the game," but. You know, they also haven't given us a ton of detail on that, if it's an AC joint, you know, kind of what it is, because there are varying degrees of sprains in your shoulder as well. And I've seen guys, I remember, I think Chad Pennington, early in my career when I was covering a Jets-Rams game toward the end of the season, believe it or not, both teams were in the playoff hunt that time. I think it was 2004. But, he played through a shoulder sprain. And then a couple weeks later, Mark Bolger from the Rams had the same thing and didn't play through it. So it kind of just gives you an idea that, you know, it doesn't sound like it's one of the higher graded sprains. But either way, something that Jimmy Garoppolo is going to have to deal with on his arm and his hand where he's already hurt.
I mean, if you could just get an elbow injury in there, you'd have the trifecta. You'd get the entire arm just completely ruined. And by the way, with Chad Pennington, it's not as if any sort of a sprain of his shoulder was going to zap any arm strength. It was already completely busted. So
that's the thing. If he could somehow make it worse, I think he found a way.
Throwing backwards. Could do that Kyler Murray scoop throw from here on out. It's all the watching this game. Listen, let's dive in as we talk to Nick Wagner of ESPN. Let's dive in on the things that the 49ers should be able to do against Green Bay. And you mentioned it earlier, this Packers run defense, even if they get back a Za'Darius Smith, even if they get back a Whitney Mercilus, like, it doesn't appear as if they know how to set the edge whatsoever on defense. And that bodes extremely well for San Francisco. obviously that's the foundation of this 49ers offense. Is it enough? Like, if they are able to run the ball for 150 yards, is it enough to beat Green Bay? It's got to be the formula, but is it enough?
I guess my answer would be a question for you is if we're playing the hypothetical game, how many interceptions did Jimmy Garoppolo throw along with that?
It's pretty clear if he has any, that's not enough. And if he goes for zero, then you might have a chance.
Exactly. And that's just kind of the whole thing, right? And I hate to keep doing this to you, Dieter.
No.
I think we say it every week where sometimes we overcomplicate things. But with this particular Niners team especially, it just kind of comes down to that. You know, are they getting a takeaway or two, and are they giving it up once or twice? And that's kind of been what it is all year. And I say that to answer your question in this way also, where, yes, those other things kind of need to be in place, right? The running game does need to be rolling. I say, you know, when I watch the Packers, and I tweeted the stats earlier today, NFL Next Gen Stats had it, after I watched the Packers play a couple games, I was just like, man, it really seems like they very rarely load up the box. You know, they very rarely have seven or eight defenders in the box. And I looked it up, and they average something like 6.3 defenders in the box per run play, which is one of the lowest rates in the league. So a lot of what they're doing is, you know, they're kind of keeping their guys back in coverage, and they're daring teams to run. And part of that is, of course, they've had leads, right? So, that, you know, that maybe changes that. But this is a 3-4 base defense. And they very rarely switch. I saw it a couple of times where they go to a 4-3. But if you talk to people in Green Bay, they say the only times they go to four defenders on the line of scrimmage is in very rare occasions. And when they do that, they're making themselves worse, right? Because the defensive line is just not a strength of their team. And so, yeah, and getting guys like Za'Darius Smith, you know, he's a great pass rusher. Getting him back, though, probably not going to help in terms of setting the edge. It's not something he does particularly well anyway. I think Rashawn Gary's better at that than he is. Preston Smith probably also. So, it's going to be really interesting to see what they do because, you know, in that week three matchup, the Packers did pretty light boxes. And it was, I think they held the Niners to something like 2.2 a carry or something. But that Niners team was so different, right? Especially the run game. There was no Elijah Mitchell. Deebo Samuel had not yet morphed into, you know, this kind of supernova that he's become. And so I think it's a really, again, I know we said this last week about Dallas, but it seems like an unfavorable matchup for the Packers. And I'm not predicting a win. I did last week against the Cowboys. I haven't made up my mind on how that's going to play out. But just looking at that side of it, I think the Packers are a little softer against the run than even the Cowboys were going. Based on what I've seen and what some of the numbers are, I think there's some opportunities there for the 49ers to take advantage of.
Well, what really stood out when I was going through at least my film study, and take all this with a grain of salt, is they could probably stop the inside zone. Like, I watched the game against the Rams, and the Rams were still had Darrell Henderson out there, and Henderson runs a lot of inside zone. But they have a bunch of big hefties in the three-man front. And those dudes just, like, can't get outside. They're just too big to get outside. And so I'm sure Elijah Mitchell and certainly Deebo Samuel and help Brandon Ayuk can get in on the action, too. We'll have a field day just going side to side. There's also just something, too.
Clark is a great player. Like, that's the one guy I think that they look at and say, this is the guy who's got to be the difference maker for us. The other thing I would be interested to see the 49ers do, and they don't do a ton of this, is, first of all, play 11 personnel, but run out of 11 personnel and use Jennings as almost the sort of de facto fullback a little bit. And this is just me kind of spitballing, but
talking to people
in Green Bay, one of the things, you know, Jair Alexander is a guy, he's their best corner. He's coming back off an injury, and it's a shoulder injury. And one of the things they're saying is, you know, they don't know for sure that he's going to play, but they think if he does play, he may just play in nickel situations and play the actual nickel. And if that happens, I think if you put the Niners in a position where they can, you know, again, 11 personnel with Jennings as your third guy, and he's a blocker primarily, you can run at him and maybe he gets create some opportunities that way. So just kind of throwing that out there as something maybe keep an eye on, particularly considering what Alexander's status is, you know.
See, Nick, this is why we bring you on. You're spitballing, but you're throwing out great stuff here. I mean, this is an unhittable spitball. This is beautiful things. 11 personnel run games with Juwan Jennings as a lead blocker. I know that on Sunday morning we're going to be talking about that because that just makes way too much sense to not actually go down, as we talked to Nick Wagner of ESPN. By the way, a couple other injury things that I just want to get caught up here on. Fred Warner and Nick Bosa, what's the prognosis there?
Yeah, it sounds like Fred Warner is going to be okay. You know, you remember, you know, when Kyle Shanahan said the other day that Fred Warner had a similar injury to the ankle injury that he has now earlier in the year. Mm-hmm. Well, that wasn't the injury that kept him out of that Seattle game. He actually had a hamstring injury that kept him out of the Seattle game. And so the ankle, if it had just been the ankle, I think he would have played that week. And if you remember, Warner was lobbying that week to try to play through the injury.
Right.
So it sounds like he's going to be okay. He was limited today, but he was really quite confident that it was going to be fine. And I asked him because the reaction on the field made me think, like, oh my God, what is this? And I said, like, Fred, what was it about this injury that had you so kind of freaked out? And he said, what it was is he felt like he aggravated the ankle and made it worse. And because of the way it happened as a non-contact injury, kind of getting his foot stuck in the ground, it was painful, of course, but also he had that in his mind of like, oh, I just made something that was already existing worse. And so it took a little bit, but he said once the pain kind of calmed down, he's fine. And, you know, it's just kind of a run-of-the-mill ankle sprain, it sounds like. So I think he's going to be okay. And then as far as Nick Bosa goes, you know, you're just kind of in a holding pattern. I've never seen anybody clear concussion protocol in 2 days, so he didn't practice today. Not at all a surprise that way. It seems like the Niners are optimistic based on how he's been feeling, which tells you there's probably not a lot of, like, you know, symptoms that are lingering, but he still has to get through the protocol, and they have one less day, quite frankly, than they normally would. So, you know, Mitch Wishnowsky didn't clear until the day before, and that was on Saturday, but Bosa obviously will have a little bit less time to do that. I still think they're optimistic, but you just never know with those kind of things.
I mean, they're really behind the eight ball. As good as, you know, the defensive line was without him there, this is a very different offensive line that they're going up against. That Cowboys offensive line was pushed around, man. Collins and Smith, I mean, everybody was just getting pushed. Even it was really, really quite sad, actually, to watch, because that was once, like, the cream of the crop offensive line in this league. And not a lot of those guys are all that old, but they have fallen off significantly. This Packers offensive line, even without David Bakhtiari all year, they've had a shuffling at center. Price has been out at right tackle. They just seem to block anybody. I mean, they consistently, year after year after year, the Packers protect Aaron Rodgers and do just enough to keep the run game viable. And it looks like they're going to be pretty close to full health as much as they could be given certain injuries. Without Bosa, I don't know. Is it just kind of fate complete?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough, right? Because, like you said, there's a lot of guys coming back. But, you know, is David Bakhtiari going to be David Bakhtiari? You don't know, right?
Yeah.
And the way that, you know, in Green Bay, people are kind of like they're managing him weird, where he was kind of a full practice in their last week or whatever, and then he didn't practice today, and it was they're saying load management and things like that. And it's just weird with a guy who's coming back from injury, you think he'd want to kind of work his way into football shape with whatever opportunities he has. So there's some of that. The center, I know their center is healthy again, so I think he should be fine. But, yeah, I mean, that is a good group, and it's kind of interesting because Adam Stenovich is the offensive line coach for the Packers, and if you remember a few years ago, he was the 49ers' assistant offensive line coach, a really good young coach that the Niners had really high hopes for, but they just obviously didn't have a position for him. They had an offensive line coach, and then Matt LaFleur, obviously we know how that coaching tree goes, and ended up picking him, and he's done just tremendous work with that group up there. So, yeah, I think that's still a very, very solid group. It's just going to be interesting to see if they can kind of re-coalesce. I don't know if that's a word, but I'm going to put re in front of coalesce and call it one, and see if they can do that, you know, because that's so much of offensive line play is your ability to communicate, your ability to know what the man next to you is going to do and has done on a play, and to make it work that way. So that's really kind of the biggest thing. But I think we would all agree that particularly against this team with how quick Aaron Rodgers gets rid of the ball, they've got to be able to at least get some pressure and force him to be a little bit uncomfortable because he's just playing at an unbelievably high level right now.
if they're going to move in a bunch of people onto that offensive line, and obviously they're established players, but you know you have to re-coalesce everything. It is going to be interesting against a 49ers defensive line that has done really exceptionally well with like stunts and just gotten real exotic as of late. So there could be something there for sure. As we talked to Nick Wagner of ESPN.com, do you think that there's anything to Kyle Shanahan having a mental advantage over Matt LaFleur? Because he certainly seems to have one. Maybe this is me just making narratives out of nothing, but he certainly seems to have one over Sean McVay, his former assistant. And I know LaFleur has gotten the better of him in some spots, but I mean, there's got to be some sort of a complex there still, right?
Yeah, I mean, Shanahan has taken out a long term leap, and Sean McVay's head at this point, I think. But when it comes to LaFleur, I think it's a little bit different, like you said, based on the fact that the Packers have won the last couple of matchups, but at the same time, those haven't necessarily had the stakes of this game. They haven't had the stakes of this game.
Of course.
The last time they played in a game this big was the 2019 NFC Championship. We remember how that went.
Yes, sir.
I think there's something to the idea of the way that Kyle Shanahan's teams win games. And by that, I mean the physical nature of kind of pushing you around and making you feel like you're less than,
yes,
so to speak. I think there's probably something to that that can be a little bit embarrassing or even humiliating in some ways. I'm sure that the Packers felt that way after that NFC Championship game. I'm sure that the Rams have felt that way a few times in recent meetings with the 49ers. So I do think there's probably something to that. Will it actually play into the game? I don't know. But I do think that the storyline itself of the coaches is fascinating, just based on what we've heard and seen reported and has been said. And I know Kyle Shanahan said yesterday that, me and Matt are on good terms, that's my guy, all that kind of stuff. I haven't heard a lot of the same kind of stuff coming from Green Bay back toward Kyle this week. So, I just think it's really interesting, and I'll be fascinated to see kind of how that plays out and how they interact when that game is over on Saturday night.
I am very much looking forward to getting the binoculars out at Lambeau Field with you, Nick, and just watching to see what kind of interactions they have before the game. We'll be checking out injuries, guys warming up, but more the head coaches meeting before the game starts, because
absolutely,
we're going to turn this into drama one way or another. That's what we do. No, I'm kidding.
No question. This time of year, it's got to be, right? So.
It's got to be. It's the playoffs. We only have how many games to handle. We got to create something out of thin air. Nick, always appreciate you coming on, man. Looking forward to your coverage the rest of the week, and of course, whatever comes out of Green Bay. As strange and peculiar as it might be, you'll have everything covered for us at ESPN.com. Thanks again, my friend. Let's talk soon.
You got it, bud. Take care.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.